Good evening. This is Heartstock Radio, and I've been listening to KBMF today after an 8-week hiatus at home from my home office, and it has brought me an extreme amount of joy. And I'm watching. We're right across the street from the courthouse, and I'm looking out the window, and I almost saw someone fall down as they were walking down the steps of the courthouse. So I'm not going to look, and just really want to say how happy it makes me to be back on the air. And it's a little emotional. So on that note, this is Heartstock Radio, and I'm your host, Carol Murphy. We have an exciting guest, as every week we do. This week's guest is Jennifer Thune. And I'm sure she will correct me if I'm pronouncing that incorrectly. Jennifer has a great story to share with us today. She's the founder of Montana Robe Company and Femois Podcast. Just a moment, Jennifer will be with us to share her story. Remember that you can find us on Facebook. We're always looking for guests, so you can also email us at heartstockradio@gmail.com. And so in just a moment, we will be back with Jennifer to share her story. Thanks for tuning in. This is Heartstock. Fairly amazing times that we are living through. And we're going to have some good stories out of this for sure. But on today's agenda, hi, Jennifer, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I am good. So Thune, is that correct? Did I say your last name correctly?
Yes.
Montana Robe Company and Femois Podcast. Please tell our listeners just a little bit about your enterprise and, what you do.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. So I'm Jenny. I founded the Montana Robe Company about a year and a half, almost 2 years ago, as a company that hand-making or sewing bathrobes from a shop here in Belgrade, Montana. So that has been going well. Shortly after starting, I also started the Femoirs podcast as a way of kind of engaging with other people and kind of collaborating with all of these other entrepreneurs in their quest to build their own businesses. So then when the coronavirus kind of came, my robe company pivoted to making masks. And so we are now leading a network of local seamstresses to make masks that we donate around town, both in Belgrade and Bozeman, out to Three Forks and up to Big Sky, to various organizations and businesses who are engaging and kind of on the front lines with a lot of the coronavirus stuff. Yeah, so that's been kind of a bit about the companies. And then meanwhile, I have 2 kids at home, now homeschooled with the closures of all the schools. And then my husband is retired military and heading back to school for a neuroscience PhD. So trying to keep everybody afloat.
Yeah, that's a lot of plates to keep in the air at the same time. So I know that you have an MBA. Let's talk about that a little bit. Where did you go to school and where did you grow up?
Sure. Well, it's 2 funny questions because they're super not related. But I grew up in Idaho Falls, Idaho, and went to the University of Idaho for my undergrad, went and worked for a couple of years for a construction company doing cost and schedule work. And then while I was working there, I decided to go back to school for my MBA at the Thunderbird School of Global Management, which was one of the first kind of remote programs at the time back in 2010, I believe, when I started. But it was a program where you could do most of the work remote. So as I moved around with my husband in the military and all, and then go to various seminars around the world for in-person courses. So I absolutely loved it. And it made my whole undergrad experience worthwhile. Mm-hmm.
And at what point did you realize that you were going to start fabricating robes and doing it here in Montana? And what brought you to Montana? I have so many questions. I need to kind of slow down a little.
I love it. Bring it out. So I've always loved sewing and design and creation. I started selling my first garments at the age of 10. I would make tutus for a local ballet company that I would dance with, but I would make tutus for them that they would use in their performances. So I started selling ballet costumes about then and kept sewing through college. And it had always been my dream to enter the textile industry and be a fashion designer. But when I graduated from undergrad in 2008 and things were kind of... So I graduated in May, and as I was looking for a job kind of January through May, things got very squirrely, very weird. Interviews kind of just went dry. And so I pivoted and ended up taking a job with a construction company doing cost and schedule management stuff started there.
What kind of jobs were you looking for when you graduated, and what degree did you, was it fashion design?
So when I first went to undergrad, my heart has always been in fashion design and the design side of the house. But my parents were very practical in knowing that the chances of me getting a living wage from a strictly just design degree was probably limited. So they were big advocates of me going more the business route. And so I decided to study the business route through school, knowing that my passion in textiles would propel me to teach myself a lot of the textile work. So I went to school focused on business, what I didn't know and I probably wouldn't understand on my own. And then, studied economics and finance through undergrad.
And what brought you to Montana from Idaho?
Oh my goodness, there's a giant chapter in there. So, so Idaho, I graduated and went to work in Central Washington with this construction company and then worked there for a bit. Met my husband, moved with him. He deployed a couple of times. We moved to Alabama and North Carolina and to Washington. And then after all of that and two kids, he decided to transition to reserves. So as he transitioned from active military to reserves, it was kind of my opportunity it was our opportunity to pick where we wanted to live and kind of my opportunity at that point to kind of go back to work in a more dedicated fashion. Mm-hmm. And so we picked for the first time where we wanted to live, and that was here in Bozeman.
And why Bozeman? I mean, I know why Bozeman, but...
Sure. Well, I'm from Idaho originally. My husband's from North Dakota, so Montana was a good family compromise. And we're both very outdoorsy, very active skiers and hikers and adventure lovers. So being in the mountains with lots of snow and lots of winter after living in Southeast Alabama was just perfect. Yeah. Zero regrets.
Heaven. Yeah. So at what point did you decide that you were going to join the core of mask makers out there? You know, it just... My background is in healthcare, and it's mind-boggling that we don't have enough personal protective equipment. So thank you for doing that. And can you share with us just a little bit about that story?
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. Well, I think everybody listening can empathize with the crazy times that have been the past couple of months. And originally, kind of as a lot of the coronavirus stuff started to appear and kind of derail existing plans and environments and structures and routines, we watched very carefully, trying to see what was changing, what the new pain points would be, how information was being disseminated, what was kind of the general understanding and interpretation of all of this and kind of trying to understand what direction the wind was going. So as things with coronavirus picked up, in retrospect, it was a relatively easy transition. At the time, it felt gigantic. Putting all of the robes aside that we had cut, that we were ready to sew, and diverting our attention to, well, what materials can we use to make masks? And where, like, trying to sort all of that out. And then also build a system for how we could make the masks sustainably, both in a not putting us out of business, but being able to both prepare our customers and our community simultaneously to better weather the storm. And so for us, it was making masks and then reaching out to other seamstresses who were interested in helping and similarly being paid for their efforts. And they've done incredible work. They've made absolutely beautiful masks and we've shipped them all across the country and donated a good number. I don't even know what the number is now. I think it's almost 500 around the Bozeman-Belgrade area. Mm-hmm. So
when you moved to Montana, that's when you decided to found the company. And what year was that? Can you kind of give us a little history of, you know, your business model and when the company was founded and what's happened to date? Yeah.
So I actually, there's a brief chapter from when I moved here. So when we first moved here, our kids were 2 and 3 years old. So I had been mostly at home with kids before that. So I had started a couple of companies that literally died of starvation from attention. I just wasn't able to put the time into growing them and managing two little kids. And so it just didn't work out. But as we moved here, my husband Adam was transitioning out of the military. And so we had decided that kind of as he transitioned to going back to school as a graduate student, the better option for me would be to take a full-time working paid position. So I ended up getting a job with Montana State University and worked full-time for about a year in their human resources department. It was good work, a little bit different, extremely different than the position I thought I had signed up for. And at the end of the year, left to another position. So the second position was working for a local veterinary clinic in town, helping to manage his businesses. And that one also turned into just a really challenging position, challenging in a variety of ways. But ultimately, between these two full-time jobs, I kind of came to the understanding that I can't be a full-time mom and a full-time employee. And if I have to pick one, I'm going to pick the full-time mom. So after this second position ended, which was about, so we came here in 2016. So that must have been 2017, 2018-ish. No, that'd be 2018. I pivoted. I quit that position. We were under contract for a big house in Bozeman, but on the day of closing, the contractor hadn't started work. So we ended up backing out of that deal and chose a much smaller house here in Belgrade and decided that it was time to refocus and kind of come back to what I wanted to do and how I wanted to do it. And part of that realization was I need to be my own boss. I can do all kinds of things, but I need to have control over my schedule and the ability to put my family as a priority when I need to. So at that point, I turned my attention back home for probably a year as we moved into this new place and kind of homeschooled at that point and kind of adjusted to this new norm. And as kids went back to school, I started the robe company. So in October of 2018 is when I started the robe company, and it's been wonderful. I've absolutely loved it. It's been a wonderful way to build a company that I'm proud of and have full authority to kind of use the ethics and perspective and values of community and people to build it.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take our midpoint break here in just a moment. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening. This is Heartstock. And we're speaking with Jennifer Thune of Montana Robe Company. This is Heartstock Radio, and today we're speaking with Jennifer Thune of Montana Robe Company. Hi again, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm doing well.
But you prefer Jenny, I think.
Jenny's more common. Yeah. Yes, Jennifer was usually when I was in trouble.
Yeah, it's kind of like Carol Ann instead of Carol. I knew I was in trouble. Somebody said Carol Ann. Alrighty, so why robes? I'm really curious why you decided, in all of the realm of soft goods and things that you could have made, why did you decide on bathrobes?
Absolutely. So a couple of years before I started, a number of years, I guess it was for Christmas of 2014, as our first son was being born, I made bathrobes for grandparents as a Christmas present and had made the patterns and used a flannel plaid exterior, and then the minky fleece interior was the same fabric I had used in my son's baby blankets. And so at the time I had this grand idea that because we were in North Carolina at that point, most of our family was on the West Coast, that when these grandparents would finally get a chance to meet their grandson, to kind of avoid or in hopes of ameliorating any unfamiliarity, I made these robes as a way to match and hoping it would bring them closer. I'm pretty sure that was super not the case, but it was a really great idea. And it kind of paved the way for these robes. So I gave these robes as a Christmas present. Like all handmade gifts, they could either be received with genuine excitement or with kind of, thank you very much, but as soon as you leave, like we'll put this away, or like I'll pretend to like it and then I'll throw it away. And I kind of expected them to like it and then hang it in their closet and leave it. But what I found in 2018, when I looked back at all of these grandparents, where everybody still had, no, it's 2012. Everybody still had their robes and used them every day, all year long. So every day for 6 years, like each of these seven recipients use their robes constantly and loved them. My husband has one as well, and he used and loved his. And so at that point, it was just kind of interesting. And so out of curiosity, because I hadn't had time to make one for myself when I was expecting, I made myself a robe, and it was amazing. And as soon as I put the robe on, it was, we need to build a company for this. And that just kind of provided the grounding. So it's the robes were kind of, I think more than anything, the robes were a conduit for, like, the robes were the product that I could share with the world. But the company is kind of more my jam. And that kind of ties into more of the mission and ethics of the company, and really kind of my desire to build a company that's focused on being a positive asset to its community. Because I really strongly believe companies can be as positive of an influence, if not potentially more so than a nonprofit, when they're driven with the right kind of mindset to do good and to share with the world. So the robes are great, but it's also been a way that I can kind of give back to a community that's been so much for us as we transitioned here.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit more about what you mean by giving back to the community? In what ways do you see business's role fulfilling that mission?
Oh, absolutely. So there was a buzzword in my MBA program, which was sustainable prosperity. And I think that phrase in particular resonated because I think there's a lot of good that can be done in the world. As a business owner in particular, you kind of have to have control and authority to make these decisions. You can choose to be a positive influence on your community. And for me, part of that is not just selling robes, but what do we do with the money when we get it? Where do we reinvest it? How can the things like the mask, like how can we pivot our company to render products that our customers need at a time that they need them? And kind of how do we rise to the challenge of our country and our community at a time that it needs it? And I feel like as a business, it's our opportunity and we can really excel by filling that role. And I think it can have such a positive influence on the community, much like all the donated masks that we've given as people have purchased masks through the website. It's been a tremendous way to outfit companies and organizations that didn't have masks or didn't have access to masks to have them and use them to help protect themselves, their customers, and their employees.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk just a little bit. We've got about 5 minutes and I want to save some time to talk about your podcast, but what have been your greatest challenges and what have you learned? Are there pearls that you can share with other people who are listening who may be thinking about starting a business or they already have a business?
Sure. Challenges and failures, I'm pretty good at those. I would say the biggest challenge has just been, from my experience, maybe there is, I don't think so, but there is no easy way, easy, fast, quick and rich way to build a good company. It takes time and a lot of hard work and a lot of late hours and a lot, even more passion and determination. For me, a lot of it has been, I love all of this. I don't work. I just build companies. Like that's my passion, but it's hard. And it's hard to wake up every day with that same vigor and passion. With masks right now, I mean, there's so much good and I'm an eternal optimist, but with masks right now, everything's very politicized and it's really, and it's challenging because as we donate masks to businesses, we've encountered a variety of businesses who don't want masks, don't think they're necessary, think all of this is going to pass and things will go back to new and it's fine. You just have to kind of, okay. And it's really hard because it, as a company, we can do our best to render a positive outcome to the world, but there's a lot you can't control. And no, everybody is very well aware of that these days, I feel like. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of the challenges are just the grit to keep getting back after it and keep building. But I think at the same time, that's what makes it all worthwhile. And at the end of the day, that's what makes you appreciate the journey.
Mm-hmm. And how about your podcast? When did you start that? And how might listeners find your podcast?
Sure. So I started the Femoirs podcast back in March. So we're now on, I think, episode 53 out there. The podcast is on multiple platforms or most platforms. But it was a way to connect with people and share their stories, but specifically connecting with other female entrepreneurs in their stories, building their companies, things that they encountered and how they overcame it and kind of what has been like their experience to date. Mm-hmm. So there's a variety of female entrepreneurs on there. My husband has been a most recent guest because we've been in quarantine, but I'm super excited. Here in this next week, we'll be launching a mini series interviewing companies that have pivoted and sharing stories about how they've pivoted in hopes of helping other business owners out there steer their businesses through these crazy times.
Yeah. And how might listeners find and reach you if they want to kind of continue on with this conversation?
Most easily through the Robe Company. So montanarobes.com, and you can get in touch with me through there. And here, hopefully in the next week, if I can scrape enough time together before kids and after the Robe Company, I will have a website out for the podcast, which will be femoirspodcast.com.
Well, we wish you and everybody out there in these really trying, challenging times good luck. And thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your story and the work that you're doing. Really appreciate it, Jenny.
Absolutely. Thank you, Carol.
Mm-hmm. This is Heartstock. And thank goodness, finally, we will be back again next week here live. I'm Carol Murphy, your host, and Clark Grant is manning the board. And we say peace. Peace to everybody. See you next week. Bye-bye.
And on the sign it said, no trespass.
Heartstock Radio is a production of KBMF 102.5, Butte America Radio. Hear our live programs every Friday at 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time via live stream at butteamericaradio.org.
That's right.